All right, welcome back to Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. This is a podcast about some of the most comically, notoriously bad movies Hollywood has churned out, and why we love to talk about how horribly wrong everything went. I'm Alex Dunbar. As always, I'm joined by Brian Muir, Jack Estabrook, Cody Wolf. Andy Wolf is out on assignment scouting our next movie right now.
On VHS.
for a movie that came out less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, he is watching a VHS copy of a movie.
I salute you, Andy Wolf.
That's right. The movie we're talking about today, this is a special theatrical edition.
Mm-hmm. Brian, we actually had to pay to see this.
We paid money.
We paid $10 to see this.
Yeah, we paid, yeah. I have the receipt, yeah. To see, it's just known as the cast.
You don't expect us to reimburse you, do you?
I already took it out of your wallet.
The movie will be on Katherine Heigl's tombstone.
Yeah, one for the money. The Katherine Heigl movie. I'll give just a brief synopsis. I don't have an official one, but Katherine Heigl plays Stephanie Plum, a tough-as-nails, street-smart... Yeah, bounty hunter. Yeah, so it's pretty much science fiction. we'll kind of get into the movie here. Stephanie Plum, played by Katherine Heigl. I'm just going to call her Katherine Heigl. Yeah, we can all agree on that. All right, we're just calling her Katherine Heigl.
I haven't seen the movie, so...
We should notice that. Brian and I saw the movie. Cody and Jack are just here to share their insights on this. We get this setup where Katherine Heigl loses her job. She's driving around in like a Camaro or something. Yeah. She loses her job selling lingerie at Macy's. And she's really down on her luck, so she goes to her family dinner, trying to find a job. Right off the bat, movie sets the tone. This movie has no comic subtlety. Almost every line in this movie...
They should have added a laugh track.
Oh, it definitely should have, because everybody punctuates every line. Like, you feel like you should hear, like, or bazing! after everything everybody says. You know, all the lines are like... Oh, you know what you need? A job? No, a husband! Oh, bazing! Like, they're all...
It was basically like a Leave It to Beaver script that they, like, plugged into a 2012 movie.
So, wait a minute. I'm just getting ahead of me here. She can't find a job, so she goes to what? Get suggestions from her family?
Her cousin... this is Katherine Heigl. She looks like Katherine Heigl. You know, she dresses like... kind of like a low-rent version of Katherine Heigl. Her cousin is a bail bondsman. So she shows up to her cousin's bail bondsman shop looking for a job as presumably a secretary? She's looking for a job as a secretary. They're like, we're not hiring for secretaries. So then she's like, oh, maybe I'll just be a bounty hunter then.
Because that's the logical step up from a lingerie salesman at Macy's.
Yeah, you can do it. This is right,
Here's where, you know, we're talking about the movie having a laugh track and rim shots and everything. I mean, this one is like straight out of like a Dick Van Dyke show script, something from the 1950s or 60s. So basically the conversation ensues is, I don't know if you're qualified for this job. What did you do before? I was a lingerie salesman at Macy's in Jersey. You'll do just fine.
Buzzing! Yeah, all the way, you know. She goes in, her cousin's like, hey, I don't know if you're qualified to be a bounty hunter. How does she get the job? She basically tells her cousin, hey, you tried to kiss me at my wedding. I'm gonna tell our family about that unless you let me track down dangerous criminals.
All right. Stop busting my balls.
That's how she gets her job as a bounty hunter.
It's like someone was like going through some old Hollywood warehouse that hadn't been looked into in about 40 years and found the script. They're like, let's just go with it. Add in some cell phones and it's 2012.
Do you know what all the delivery reminded me of? Do you remember those sitcoms that used to be on Saturday mornings? Do you guys know like those ones? I mean, like Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Right. Ones aimed at kids.
Yeah, the ones aimed at kids.
Saved by the Bell type shows.
Saved by the Bell. And you know, like all the jokes are punctuated. Like, you know, it's like, hey, really hit the comedy right at the end. Like all the jokes. It has that same delivery.
If a joke went over your head in this movie, you are an idiot. Like, you could be a six-year-old, and, like, you may not find it funny, but a six-year-old will be like, oh, that was a joke.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't see this.
Including
well,
the stuff.
Can. Actually, we,
No, you cannot. Yeah, I think it's out of theater.
It was out of theaters.
I Netflix it, but I'm afraid it would show up on my account, and someone online would just know 20 years from now. They'd dig it up. You know, rented Katherine Heigl's One for the Money, and... Yeah. I'd be like, okay.
I got the feeling that after we saw the movie, they took the print out and like threw it back in the mail back to the distributor. We should mention, Debbie Reynolds plays Katherine Heigl's grandmother, which is incredibly awkward in the family scenes because Debbie Reynolds looks a solid 10 years younger than the woman who plays Katherine Heigl's mom.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really confusing to me. The mom and the grandmother, their ages are totally indeterminate. Debbie Reynolds is Katherine Heigl's
spunky,
which is played for, I guess it's played for comedy. I mean, did you laugh at any point at anything Debbie Reynolds did in this movie?
I laugh at any point at anything anyone did in this movie. No.
Yeah. And we should mention, too, this is based on a successful series of novels. I can't remember the author's name, but there's like 18 novels in this series.
I got the feeling that when we were in the movie, there was like some book club groups that were in here. I think this is a popular book club type thing.
I think so. Well, we should also put that disclaimer out there. As a couple of young-ish men, you're actually young, I'm young-ish. We are clearly not in the
awkward,
demo.
That was an awkward scene because it was like older couples and then like... early 30, like, book club women.
Yeah.
Who, like, actually seem to enjoy the movie to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, basically, really I would describe everyone who was in the theater with us was either essentially looked like Bridget Jones from Bridget Jones's Diary, mm-hmm. or was a husband who got dragged to this movie. Like, one guy came in, and he's scanning the room like, is there anyone who's going to recognize me here?
He was definitely relieved that there were some other guys here, I think.
Like, well, I think he was also nervous, like, do any of these guys know who I am?
Were you guys the only ones in there with notepads?
We're sitting there with I'm writing things down during the... We must have looked like freaks.
Yeah, they must have thought we were freaking...
Were you the only ones laughing?
Now, they didn't think you were, together, did they?
We sat a chair apart to make it clear.
Just to make it clear. Yeah, we had no...
I mean, we were holding hands across that empty chair, you know.
I mean, it's the movies.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So, back to the movie. So, Katherine Heigl gets his job as a bounty hunter. We should also note, Katherine Heigl plays the whole movie with this...
on-again, off-again Jersey accent.
Absolutely. When she's on camera... She has a Jersey accent that sounds like a character of a Jersey accent. You know, like something you would see in like a Looney Tunes cartoon. You know, somebody comes in. But when she does voiceover, no accent. Just Katherine Heigl's regular voice. And since these are butted right up against each other all the time. And we should also... There's so much to talk about this movie. I think we have to talk about the music cues in this movie. This is one of those movies where... Clearly, they were in post-production. They were like, I don't know if people are getting this. We need to put in better music cues. So there's, like, music cues, like, you know, somebody, like, does something funny. Like, you're like, you know, like, when things get dangerous, it just goes like, dun 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 dun. Like, no, like, the most blunt, you know, let me tell you how to feel, you know, music cues start coming in.
Again, you have to be an idiot to not understand what's happening.
Was there any record scratch in the movie?
That is probably the one thing they didn't do. Yeah, that would have...
They
would have
dropped the ball on that one.
There's probably a couple places...
Hey, idiot, it was a joke, accentuate record scratch.
Yeah. So Katherine Heigl somehow gets the job of... Again, she's been a bounty hunter for all of 10 minutes. She refuses to go after normal, like, low-level bounties. She wants to go after a cop killer.
Who took her virginity when she was a teenager.
Yes. Yes.
So there's the whole plot point of why she would like to
So wait a minute. She's now, let me Sounds guess. Hilarious. Is this character like a playful romantic character even though he's a cop killer?
Well, is he a cop killer?
That's the question. That's the mystery
we're going to unravel.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That's the caper that we're in now.
Named Joe Morelli. So, but you know, at this point, the movie's presented, and her cousin's like, Morelli's way too dangerous. You can't be going after Morelli. He could kill you. She's like, hey, I'm going to tell your wife you like strippers. All right, you're after Morelli. Okay.
Say no more, Steph.
Maybe this is made more clear in the books. I don't know. But, like, this other actually qualified bounty hunter starts training her. That guy they call Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, who looks like, you know, they basically describe him. He looks like an action figure. Yeah. Like, dude's got, you know,
he's actually a formidable guy who knows what he's doing.
He looks like he could actually bring someone in.
Right.
If necessary.
Right.
And for some reasons that are never made clear in the movie, I don't know if it's pity, he decides to help Katherine Heigl, including buying her a gun. Don't they not carry guns? I don't know. Based on the bounty hunter rules in this movie, I mean,
when you're a former lingerie salesman at Macy's in Jersey, you carry a gun.
No, zing. Would you buy Katherine Heigl a gun? I mean, I'm just saying, like, if Katherine Heigl came to you and said, "Hey, I'm working as a bounty hunter, Jack, will you buy me a gun?"
No.
But buys her a gun. She has no idea how to handle it. She's basically just like waving this gun around, leading to one of the big moments from the trailer. She goes to her family dinner, and her zany grandmother gets her hands on the gun and shoots the turkey at the dinner table. This scene, even in a crowd of people who I think were trying to enjoy the movie, this scene sat like an egg on the screen.
Well, crazy grandmother Debbie Reynolds picks up the gun, what other ending could you possibly have at that point other than she shoots it?
Her grandmother shoots a gun at the dinner table, explodes a turkey, and then her dad...
And the dad's like, oh, that's grandma!
Well, no, then the dad goes like, hey, she should be in a home! And I think everyone's just like, yeah. Yeah, actually, she should.
She probably should.
Yeah, everyone almost just died.
And then, like, they just started eating again.
Yeah, then everyone, dinner's back on. Okay. All right.
You're around the bullet.
Yeah, it's pull the bullet out. There's this whole, like, mystery.
It's not even worth going through this entire plot, really.
It doesn't make sense. There's a mystery
of,
like...
So she eventually finds... Oh, the one funny line, though. So when she starts the investigation and they go into the... she's trying to find Morelli, so she goes to his last known residence, and she finds, like, his brother or whatever.
Yeah, she sees his brother.
In the parking lot, so yeah. The brother, like, pulls into the apartment, leaves the car there. And Katherine Heigl's talking, like, to her best friend on the phone, giving her, like, a play-by-play of what's going on. Like, oh, his brother just went up into the apartment and he left his car. And the freaking friend goes, well, what are you waiting for? Search for clues!
Yeah.
Like, what kind of best friend is that? Your friend, like, if my friend just tells me, oh, I'm a bounty hunter now, I'm not encouraging this.
Yeah, yeah.
What a terrible friend.
Also, totally convenient friend. The friend is just to give someone for Katherine Heigl to talk to. Because as soon as the movie goes on and Katherine Heigl has other people to talk to, friend,
yeah,
totally out of the movie. Yeah. Gone. Never seen again. Oh, I don't need to talk to you anymore. I've got other people to talk to now. So she tracks down... Doing a little bit of Scooby-Doo-esque detective work.
Minus the fun.
Minus the fun, or the mystery machine. She tracks down Morelli the police have been able to find him because Morelli has been hiding out at his brother's apartment. Pretty savvy. She tracks him down, and it comes out, you know, she goes up there trying to bring him in, and...
Oh, what a surprise, he doesn't come in.
He won't come in. Jason O'Mara plays Morelli, and I'm going to
pay...
best performance in the movie by far.
He's actually okay.
Nothing saves this movie.
The best performance in the movie is only okay, huh?
Well, he's actually really... I wouldn't even go so far as to say he's
Oscar.
Good.
I mean, I was a little surprised, you know? I thought maybe, like, Peter O'Toole...
He's in Lawrence of Arabia?
I mean, Max von Sydow. Oh. Max von Sydow, I don't know if he really deserved his nomination. Christopher Plummer, I could have seen him in that.
Well, we should say, O'Mara's really good in this movie.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, not really good.
Well, he alone...
I will say, though, with the lines he had to deliver, like the scene where they first meet, and anyone who can deliver the line, we're history, babe, like the pyramids. Anyone who can deliver a line like that without completely losing credibility. Once again, I mean, come on, 1950s script. I mean,
it is.
Who says we're history, babe, like the pyramids?
Yeah.
Who says that now? Can you just imagine in real life, like, talking about someone you broke up with and having them say to you, we're history, babe, like the pyramids. Like, what do you even say to that?
I would be
like, I'm going to use that.
Yeah, it is. It's like a.
I don't even know how I'd respond.
A rejected script for like a Rock Hudson, like Doris Day, like Cary Grant. Yeah, I mean, totally out of touch.
Like I see him wearing like a trench coat and like a fedora when he says that line.
It is well, and they're also trying to mix like action in with this. Like, oh, and we should talk about this at this point. No transition between the like normally in like an action comedy, you're kind of like there's a little overlap where you're blending the two, or there's like. No, not this movie. We're a romantic comedy. We're a romantic comedy. Things are witty. Things are like, now we're an action movie. Things are dangerous. Things are happening. Bullets are being fired. Now we're a romantic comedy. Things are witty. We've got some banter. Now things are dangerous. Like, there's no transition, no, like, crossover between the two.
If there was any transition, the movie would have been even longer than it already was, which would have just made it more painful. So I actually kind of appreciated the fact that they... threw all like good filmmaking qualities to the wind and were just like, let's freaking get through this thing because this is awful. I think that's kind of probably what the director was doing. Like probably like midway through, whoever directed this piece of crap was just like, all right, this is terrible. Let's just get from point A to point B as quickly as possible.
Because that's really just what they're doing. I mean, it kind of turns into this, you know, Morelli escapes and Katherine Heigl just keeps trying to solve this mystery. She keeps running into Morelli. And if you've ever seen a moving image on a film screen before, you start to get the idea that Morelli is probably not actually a bad guy. He's probably a good guy. And she's running into this weird cast of characters who are trying to help her solve the crime, this murder that, you know, Morelli is the suspect in. Let's bring this up at this point. This movie also has an uncomfortable... racist edge. I felt. Did we talk about this? I mean,
I don't think so.
This movie, it really actually made me uncomfortable. Some of the
prostitutes with the heart of gold characters.
And even more so the Asian stoner guy.
Oh yeah.
I mean that really. I mean, first of all, it's not funny.
Yeah, pretty much every racial stereotype that's out there is contained in this movie.
Yeah, I mean they're just it's really
the
awkward.
The loose cannon like fighter guy. The erratic Hispanic John Leguizamo character who's his manager. Like,
So you meet this cast of characters. John Leguizamo.
So wait, John Leguizamo's in this movie?
Yeah. John Leguizamo. Well. Yeah, I mean he's in like three scenes, but he's theoretically a major character. Yeah. It's basically Katherine Heigl stumbling around in high heels because she's street smart and can get people to talk to her, though her gun is constantly being taken away from her by suspects in this movie, and she's constantly getting bailed out by actually qualified bounty hunters. It's like a pattern of this movie. Katherine Heigl does something stupid. This guy Ranger comes in, saves the day.
Morelli
comes in and saves the day. Then Katherine Heigl goes out and does something stupid, and one of them comes in and saves the day again as she tries to unravel this mystery.
What is even happening at this point in the movie? I don't even know.
She
goes to a gym. She almost gets beaten up by this fighter. She talks with John Leguizamo.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Really learn anything at this point.
I don't even understand. Like, I've seen this. You and I have seen this movie. We talked about this afterwards. I still don't understand what the plot, like what the actual mystery was. They just make it clear that John Leguizamo and a boxer he manages are bad guys. Why are they bad? Because
the boxer's girlfriend disappeared and she was an informant for Morelli.
I don't even mean that. I mean, it's just clear that they're bad because they're like, oh, the boxer's all, I'm going to menace you, Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, he was very menacing.
I'm going to menace you. And you're like, you don't even know why he's menacing her. You're just like, oh, I guess he's bad. Yeah. He's just bad to be bad. And we get a lot of scenes mixed in of like, Katherine Heigl somehow gets the keys to Morelli's car, his SUV, which is a big deal because her broke Camaro was repossessed after she lost her lingerie job. At Macy's. So now she's driving around in Morelli's car. By the way, probably evidence, probably something the police would want to have at that point is his car. But now she just drives it around town.
In his personal cruiser.
In his personal vehicle. You know, there's probably tons of crime scene stuff in there, but whatever. where the movie really starts to run into trouble is it's trying to be this screwball romantic comedy and a gritty... like crime drama. So you have one scene where Katherine Heigl interrogates this witness, this guy that's a stoner, this you know, kind of 20-something Asian guy who's a stoner, and his whole scene is like...
And like a Harold and Kumar type character.
He's right out of a Harold and Kumar. And he's all like, hey, man, and like, oh, and then this other dude, hey, and he's totally baked. And the scene is played for laughs right after that scene. Right, you've a long scene, 5 minutes of this guy doing stoner comedy. A scene comes up like, hey, Stephanie Plum, you know that guy you interviewed last night? He was thrown out of a fourth-story window. He's dead. What? What? You don't even know.
We hardly know.
All right.
That got real.
Yeah. The other comic
they
relief.
They flipped the switch back from
that guy you were having that witty banter with yesterday. Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah.
So did they take two scripts and glue them together?
I don't. Yeah. It's almost like a Humphrey Bogart movie. And a screwball mixed comedy together.
So it would be like Humphrey Bogart and Red Skelton?
Yeah. Well, then the other comic relief character is this, you know, prostitute with a heart of gold who really wants to help Katherine Heigl out, but trying to protect herself, too. And there's all this witty banter of, hey, I'm going to help you, but you got to bring me a snack. Hey, a girl gets hungry. Zing! What happens to her a minute later? She gets thrown out of a moving car.
Beat up by the freaking boxer guy.
Hilarious, let me tell you.
Man, I'll tell you something if you give me a Triscuit. Boom!
Yeah, here's a note. I have a note while we're in the theater. I'm writing down, I'm like, so the movie's serious now? Like, okay, one of our comic relief characters is dead. The other one is in the hospital.
To within an inch of her life.
Yeah. And we showed some. Did you have any idea the time frame? It's never clear if this is all happening. If Katherine Heigl's been a bounty hunter for a week or like 4 weeks, like time.
Yeah, because it just goes from scene to scene, and it's like always daylight.
It's always daylight.
It's either like the longest day ever, or like
it might have been one day.
I don't know.
You never know. I mean, it's not clear.
I mean,
at
it
all.
Felt like a month in the theater. I don't know exactly what was happening though in the actual story.
Yeah. And then there's sort of like, to mix in another movie genre, we get like an 80s kind of training montage sequence of like Katherine Heigl's getting better with a gun, like learning to shoot a gun.
Does grandma ever get better with a gun?
No, grandma's just like, after she shoots the turkey, they're like, we don't need her in the movie anymore. She's just another character discarded.
You mean she doesn't get skinned alive or fed to sharks or anything like that?
As soon as she outlives her... like very expository part of the movie, you're done. In this movie, as soon as you aren't needed to further the plot, you're out. You are not. You only serve the plot, and then you're done. You know, you're see you later. You're in the sequel, maybe. And we then go to, we actually like kind of spend some time in Katherine Heigl's apartment, which is like a real film noir like apartment. Like it was really. Like, the set decorating people really went to town on, like... It looks like something out of, like, a, you know, L.A. noir, you know, kind of scene. Like, oh, it's all shadowy and, like, you know, kind of grim and creepy and pools of light. And constant cutaways to her hamster. The over-under on cutaways to her hamster in this movie is non-stop. This hamster gets more screen time than most of the characters in the film.
Debbie Reynolds and
the hamster is definitely in the movie more than John Leguizamo.
Yeah, the John Leguizamo.
I would even go so far as to say the hamster might be the best performance of the
movie. Yeah, it actually might have. Yeah,
yeah. Really it went on that wheel.
It's like one shot. No, he's just constantly running in the wheel.
I think they just realized they forgot to get enough shots for the scenes, so to avoid jump cuts, they just kept showing the hamster.
So finally, Katherine Heigl's character realizes what we had probably realized. Again, anyone who has ever heard a story told to them in their life realized that Morelli is actually innocent. He was being framed for this murder that we still no one understands. And somehow, Morelli knows he's been framed, but doesn't even understand how he was framed. Though he was at the scene, it doesn't.
No, they like glossed over that in like a minute, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it's never clear why he doesn't even know what's going on.
So the most important plot points are glossed over, yet they make sure that the hamster is on screen.
The hamster, yeah. You don't need, let's put it this way, this is the kind of movie you're doing with. You don't need to know how the murder worked, but you do get to laugh uproariously at a grandma shooting a turkey. Yeah, that's, so that now Katherine Heigl and Morelli are working together to try and solve this, though it's not really clear how that... I don't know why he would want to work with her, since she all she does.
She's completely incompetent.
She's completely incompetent. And I don't know why she wants to work with him, because it doesn't matter to her if she solves the actual case. Like, she just wants the bounty money. Actually, there's really no motivation for them.
No.
But they have this weird flirtatious relationship. Now into the movie. This is the scene that if you've seen a trailer for this movie, I guarantee you've seen this moment. Another bounty hunter who was on sick leave. Catherine Heigl got this job because the guy's on sick leave.
They're looking for a temp bounty hunter.
I can't, like, saying some of this stuff out loud sounds so crazy. Like, I'm saying this is like, you know, things you would say.
Somebody sat at a laptop in a coffee shop.
I mean,
and
if bounty hunters get sick.
I'm portraying this normal, like, oh, a regular bounty hunter was on sick leave. So a girl who looks like Catherine Heigl was hired as a fill in. Yeah. He comes back from sick leave and comes and finds Catherine Heigl and says, all right. Again, real bounty hunter, he's like, okay, I'm going to take this case back over now. You know, I'm actually a qualified bounty hunter. Catherine Heigl's like, no, this is my case. I'm bringing him in. And he's like, I'm going to bring him in. Works. Yeah, that's not how it works. I'm an actual bounty hunter. I'm going to bring him in. So he steals the keys.
By the way, that guy looked like a terrible bounty hunter, too. He was like 5'5", like...
Oh, yeah. Catherine
Heigl.
Mid-50s. Yeah, mid-50s. She towered over him.
Yeah,
I mean, it was mostly her heels.
I'd actually be more scared of her than him, quite frankly. But
yeah.
Neither here nor there.
So he then, in a sneaky move, gets the keys to Morelli's car. And he
and
goes,
what happens?
And what happens? He goes outside.
Another character dies.
It is. We jump right from this comedic scene. He goes outside and he's going to take Morelli's car. And she's like yelling him through the window. She's like, hey, that's my car. He's like, no, I got the keys. Now it's my car. Puts the keys in the ignition. It blows up. which prompts the line that everyone probably remembers from the trailer. Hey, my car just blew up. And then Morelli's like, oh, is it your car or is it my car? Oh, it's you can have it back. Ah, everyone's laughing. Meanwhile, there's a man burning to death inside the car.
Where's Nicolas Cage, Renina? I'm going to figure out.
He's burning alive in the car.
He might be able to save himself.
Yeah, they could still save him. They're cracking jokes in the window. His flesh is melting off of his bones. No one does anything about it.
Why is he concerned about his car? Like, would he have preferred that he was the one that started it and blew up? I mean, you should be happy about it.
Yeah. Which they then just...
Next scene.
Just cut. Like, there's no, you know...
All right, that guy's dead.
This is what we do in this movie. It was like it was made for TV. Ah, cut. We'll go to commercial break there. You know, right back to comedy. We then have a scene of Catherine Heigl just traipsing through... Like another crime scene for no reason. She goes back to the apartment
and they let her through the crime scene.
Yeah, for the cops are just like, oh yeah, let that girl in high heels.
New bounty hunter.
Let her walk around the crime scene.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
She
Make
looks.
Sure you touch everything.
Yeah,
while
are you an evidence tech? Just have her put on a plastic booty over that like 6-inch heel she's wearing. The whole movie's just uncomfortable. I mean, we'll just skip
Sounds
ahead.
Sounds pretty cliche.
That's
or
awesome.
At least like an
no,
amount.
You know what? It's not even cliche.
I mean, if it's cliche, if it was like 50 years ago, maybe. But...
Cliche would be an upgrade.
Yeah.
This movie, I mean, it's not even cliche.
You're
it's like
for cliches.
You want it to be a cliche. Okay. Yeah. It's worse than that because it's so confusing.
Right.
I mean, it's so bad.
You don't know what to feel.
Or even understand, like, things are happening, you're like, who are they even talking to? Like, how does this relate to this mystery? Is there a mystery? Mm. I guess we'll just kind of jump ahead. Finally, Catherine Heigl, I don't even understand how. Somehow, Catherine Heigl, by following a truck, they crack the whole code of the mystery. And it's John Leguizamo, you know, what the audience has been guessing all along. John Leguizamo's the bad guy, and... John Leguizamo very, very helpfully does like a 6-minute monologue, unprompted. Catherine Heigl
and James Bond villain monologue.
It is. It's totally Bond villain. They don't even ask him to do it. No one even says like, "Hey, can you explain this?" He's just unprompted. Does,
it was
like,
all so easy to put this together.
He does, and it's still. I I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I'm like, I got to see what's going on here. Still makes no sense.
They were shipping drugs in through this butcher's boat and.
Yeah.
They were using cops to help smuggle it.
Heroin. Yeah, heroin is coming somewhere. Money's going somewhere. Yeah. It involves meat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like,
meat. They put the heroin with the meat products delivered to the butchers so it didn't look suspicious. That was the big...
I guess so. Thing. Yeah, something. It involved meat. I actually just have a note here. I'm like,
it was something with meat. Heroin, that's all you need to know.
Here's my note. Heroin plus meat equals crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just... And that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And John Leguizamo...
Like the synopsis to the whole movie.
That's it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, don't put heroin in your meat. Leguizamo, a poor choice for this part. He speaks so fast. Like, they cast John Leguizamo. He does his John Leguizamo thing. He's speaking mile a minute, and you're like, dude, slow down. You are dishing out vital plot information that no one else has provided us with. We just whip through it. Anyway, Katherine Heigl saves the day somehow by... She ends up with, like... Not only does she save the day, John Leguizamo's dead. Another boxer's, the other bad guy's dead.
How did she kill John Leguizamo? She got shot in the ass, and then
she gets shot, or does Jason O'Mara? Somebody shoots John Leguizamo.
So her bounties end up dead.
Jason O'Mara has been handcuffed inside this meat truck by the bad guys. So, now again, this is a movie that wants to be gritty and realistic for a lot of the movie. You've got two dead heroin dealers, you know, at this crime scene, and this truck full of guns, meat, and, you know, where they heroin, were shot.
Yeah.
What does Katherine Heigl do? She hops in the driver's seat and just drives the crime scene to a police station and be like, hey, I got Morelli in the back. Where's my bounty check?
And the police officers all come out with, like, champagne, and she's, the host of the precinct.
They do. They give her...
Morelli!
Hey, you got him! They're giving her high fives, and then they're like, hey, also, there's two dead bodies back there.
That we'll worry about those later.
Hey, we'll get them
one day. Hey, you got some steaks back there?
Yeah, all right.
You got some tenderloin?
Yeah.
Is it wrong for me to say that I'm actually upset that I missed this?
Don't worry, I'm sure it's out on DVD yesterday.
Yeah, already.
And maybe off the shelves.
As we talk about this, I'm learning new things. Brian's explanation of what the bad guys were doing actually makes more sense than anything I took from the movie.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
Whole time we were in the movie. And they kind of wrap things up very conveniently, like, oh, the hooker with the heart of gold is now a secretary for the Bales Bondsman. Katherine Heigl will continue
being
to be
a bounty hunter? And getting bailed out by the Ranger.
Though she
guy.
Never did
she
anything.
Like she was a bang-up job.
She didn't do anything right all movie long. They sort of excuse that because they're like, at one point, even Katherine Heigl admits, she's like, I'm not doing anything right. And another character's like, hey, you can get people to talk to you. What? I would think that's pretty low on a bounty hunter's priority list. I would think that, like, tackling, handcuffing,
pepper spraying.
Yeah, and the hunting aspects of the bounty hunter would be much more important.
At one point, she keeps her gun in her purse, which constantly gets being taken from her. At one point, she goes to take another bounty in, and the guy... like, just takes her purse. He's like, oh, your gun's in your purse? He just takes her purse, walks back inside his house, and shuts the door. So she's doing a bang-up job. So the hooker with the heart of gold now works for the Bales Bondsman. Everybody's great. And setting things up for the sequel that, God help me if it ever happens.
Morelli and Katherine Heigl are together.
Oh, they're now a couple. Now they're fun because they have this screwball romance works out. And the movie ends, and it is just awfulness. So much to talk about, kind of behind the scenes, this movie, before we get into the other stuff. I don't remember if we talked about this, Brian, but the budget for this movie was executive produced by Katherine Heigl. And I think Katherine Heigl's mother, because it was one of the other executive producers, also had the last name Heigl. I'm going to go ahead and say it was a relative of hers. Because $40 million. There is nothing in this movie... I mean, it looks like, I would actually go so far as a lot of this movie looks worse than, like, just an episode of CSI. I don't know where, I don't know, where does the money go? Like,
I would have guessed, like, $10 million, maybe.
Yeah, if you had said to me this movie cost $10 million, I would have been like, oh, okay, I could see that. It looks like about a $10 million. There's about $30 million unaccounted for, because there's no big set pieces.
Yeah, I would, if I was the IRS, I would be... auditing this movie.
This movie, by the way, is a huge bomb. And if
all that tied up in the rights? Like, was like Did the author want to like millions of dollars for the rights? Maybe
I'm guessing they probably. I'm
even
guessing
now that couldn't possibly justify that high a cost.
I mean,
and it wasn't like it was an all-star cast.
Yeah, I mean, no one other than Katherine Heigl was famous in. I mean, John Leguizamo had to be pretty cheap. I mean, Jason O'Mara is from TV. I mean, everyone in this is from TV. It's really a mystery.
Why I played out, like,
if you
TV
invested
movie.
In this movie, you should definitely be having it audited.
As just a what, a hired gun director?
Yeah, like a hired gun director. I mean, there's no one of any. It's a complete mystery. What should have been a $10 million movie. Also famous because this is one of the first ever movies to use a Groupon for its opening weekend. You could buy a Groupon for this movie that would get you a ticket from like $6.
Why didn't we do that? Oh my god, we paid like enough as it was already for this season.
I would be so embarrassed if we did that. And this movie's still tanked. I mean, it's still tanked. I can't remember
even with our contribution. We probably contributed about 20% of its box office take.
I would. Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. I'm trying to think here. It made $11.5 million its opening weekend. It finished in third place. Not terrible, but yeah, I mean, it's...
Considering the cost of the film.
For a $40 million movie, yeah, unlikely that it's going to make its money back.
One of the few movies where if you see the trailer, you know it's going to be terrible. Like, even, like, terrible movies, a lot of times you can watch the trailer and be like, it looks okay, I don't know, I'll have to see it. Like, maybe the worst trailer of all time.
Well, it is. It's one of the worst, but it's also an accurate trailer.
Yeah.
Because, like, some trailers...
That's
this,
true.
This
it's not
gives
deceiving
you,
at all.
It isn't. It gives you a very accurate portrayal of what
like,
you're getting in this movie.
Crap.
This is going to be terrible, you know? And the comedy... I mean, it shows you the over-the-top comedy.
And the thing is, when you watch the trailer, and after seeing the movie, you're like, yeah, those are actually probably the best scenes in the whole movie that they put on there. Like...
Oh, yeah.
They can't save any of their best stuff, because if they did... I mean, they'd just be showing scenes of Katherine Heigl, like, knocking on doors and everything.
Driving shots. Yeah. Like, cutaways. I don't know.
They'd have to, like, say lines like, we're a history baby, like the pyramids.
And... Yeah. Terrible. And I don't know about you, Brian. I went to this. A lot of people hate Katherine Heigl. Like, there's that huge, like, anti-Katherine Heigl movement. I don't really hate Katherine Heigl.
I don't hate her.
After this movie, I did. Because
I'll say I hated the character.
Well, she also executive produced this. Like, I think
she produced her own movie as a vehicle for herself, even though her career is not in a state where she would need that.
Right.
She's in a state now where she's gonna.
Yeah.
Oh,
we might be seeing her in a couple TV movies. Back into the silver screen.
There's one other thing we had to talk about because I had to research this. This is that kind of podcast. We actually research. This is investigative podcasting.
Yeah, really.
They were shooting this movie, because in 2010, Katherine Heigl came out in the action comedy Killers with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah.
Which was one of the most hated movies of 2010, totally bombed at the box office. While that was coming out was while they were shooting One for the Money. Can you imagine what that's like on the set? You know, if you're just like a grip on the set, hey, Mrs. Heigl... So, saw that your action comedy killed at the box office. I'm sure this one will do much better. That's really going to inspire.
People have such a different plot.
Yeah, people are clamoring for more Katherine Heigl.
This action romantic comedy is totally different than the action romantic comedy that's bombing at the theaters now.
Maybe that's why they're like, we need to make this grittier. Let's have every character she talks to die in the next scene.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, at least we'll get action fans. And this movie's pretty legendary. This has a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's worse than Abduction.
Abduction was 4%.
How is that possible?
It is two. What? No.
I mean, this makes Wicker Man look like the freaking.
Well, when you read reviews all over. This movie came out in January 2012. All over the reviews, or instantly everyone's like, we've already got a contender for worst film of the year. This will be on my worst five list.
It's a
month into the year, and people were so confident. They're like, certainly a contender for top five worst films of the year. Wow. That's... and while we're sitting here, I'm going to go to the one... There is one... positive review on Rotten Tomatoes.
So
we are going to go to this
review and 49 bad reviews.
I'm going to it is from Scott Nash. All
right, Scott.
Of Three Movie Buffs. We're clicking it up. He is the only positive review.
Actually gave this a positive review.
Yeah, he gave it 2.5 out of 4 stars. Speaking of, I do not enjoy the four star ranking system. He starts off with, thanks in large part to the power of extremely lowered expectations, I actually enjoyed this Katherine Heigl chick flick fantasy based on the series of successful books by Janet Ivanovich. Sure, it's being dumped in the dead of winter and wasn't screened for critics before it was released, but I still enjoyed it. It's far from perfect, but I wasn't bored. That's when you know a movie's good, folks. When some guy's like,
a fresh
hey,
rating.
This movie, I was bored.
I had
bored.
Really low expectations.
Did you, did you guys have a stop the movie moment for this one?
There, I think I did.
Very unprofessional, Alex.
Sorry about that. A little cell phone. I'm trying to think what my stop the movie moment might have been. It really, actually, for me, it was when the grandmother shot the turkey. Because it was not funny. It was not comedic. The movie at that point had been swinging back and forth between trying to be a serious action movie and a ridiculous comedy. And that was it. I even stopped groaning at the bad jokes. I just sort of... It was like that point in a boxing match when you see a boxer just kind of succumb and he's just letting the other guy like hit him in the face and he's sort of just taking it. That was it. I was on the ropes from that point.
Mine was when the main characters were basically unwatchable minus the good cop killer character. But every single supporting characters weren't terrible, but they all ended up dead. It's like they didn't know which people to keep in the movie and which to kill off. Like, that Asian guy, like, all right, I could have seen him in another scene, dead. The prostitute with the heart of gold. Okay, she's doing okay.
In the hospital. yeah.
They didn't even know which characters to keep around and which ones to kill off properly.
Yeah, and I should say, too, I oftentimes like action comedies. Like, mixing action and comedy. Like, Brian and I are probably two of the only people you find who really love the A-Team movie. Like,
that was
an
awesome movie.
You know, when you can blend... You know, action and comedy, if you sort of know what you're doing, no touch for the material here.
They should have had her family in the car that blew up. I would have been more satisfied with that.
Anything.
Debbie Reynolds, the mom and the dad.
It really needed to decide. Did it want to be gritty or did it want to be a comedy? Because they either needed to, like, tone down the comedy. Like, the comedy is so broad. It's like a stage play, you know, where everyone's like, you know, hey, make sure the guy in aisle 47 gets this punchline. Or they needed to, like, tone down the action so that you're not being like, we're not, you know, the Maltese Falcon here, you know? I mean, that was...
It really was a 1950s script that they tried to make for today.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the best character in the whole movie was that appliance salesman that the family tried to set Katherine Heigl up. This portly, balding appliance salesman...
Yes, her family wants her to date this guy who runs
who was
an appliance
in the scene
store.
Where the turkey got shot.
That's right. That's right. That's the closest the movie comes to working.
Yeah.
I would have watched a movie about that
and
guy.
And that guy didn't get hurt or killed, which was promising.
He was the only comic relief who
didn't get
hospitalized
hurt.
Or in a morgue. Yeah. He's in two scenes, this like appliance store salesman, her family thinks that she should date because
he's safe, he's successful, has a job.
Yeah, and
but not an attractive man or very personable.
And those were actually like two scenes from a better movie. Like that was like some
it's
other
like
movie.
The director like was out sick those days and they had like the intern step in and actually...
Yeah.
Make something happen.
Yeah, or they had like, oh, here's this other romantic comedy we didn't make. We got a couple extra scenes from it. Do you guys want these?
Could be a spinoff.
Could, yeah, yeah. There are 18 books in this series.
What?
There are 18
books. Wow, is this based on the first one, or is this just like they chose a book to adapt?
From what I can read, it is essentially based on the first one. Maybe some of this makes more sense in the book. I have to say, if there was 18 books, it has to make more sense. And I'm sure, you know, a book, you don't, or a movie, you don't have as much time. You're probably summarizing a lot of... Maybe the book explains why the actually competent bounty hunters want to help Katherine Heigl's character more, which is never clear in the movie.
Or why you would ever become a bounty hunter.
Or why, yeah. Oh, I did read one thing. They didn't do this in the movie. I don't know why. In the movie, she gets the job as a bounty hunter because she threatens her cousin that she's going to tell their family that the cousin likes strippers, I think. I think it's something. It's basically something vague, like, oh, I'm gonna tell the family that you like the strippers or something if you don't give me a job. And he's like, all right, you're hired. Apparently, in the book, it's that she threatens her cousin, threatening her own family member, threatening her cousin that she's gonna tell people that his sex acts involve live ducks. What?
First of all, how would she know that? Yeah. Second of all, what?
As opposed to dead ducks?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't read the book, but that just seems like
rubber ducks.
That seems really disturbing, doesn't it? Like, that's,
sex acts involve live
ducks. Why not take him in?
That sounds like something out of like a completely like gross, a like
orange?
Yeah, or like
Pink Flamingos.
Yeah, like a serial killer movie or something. I was like, what? Bottom line, hopefully there are not going to be 17 really more of these movies. I cannot.
I can see why they cut that like for the theatrical version.
Probably the only good choice they made in the whole thing.
Live ducks.
Yeah.
Weren't there like mallard ducks or?
I know.
What kind of ducks?
What kind of
you have to read the book?
What kind of waterfowl?
They were Daffy ducks.
Oh, hey! That is a joke that would have been in the movie. That is.
It's a tale about a Daffy Dame.
Hold on.
Listen, Morty, if you don't give me this job, I'm going to tell the family that you do sex acts with ducks. And I'm not talking about Daffy ducks.
Hold on. We've got a $100 check from Warner Brothers here for you guys. Save that gold for
That's
the sequel.
That $40,000 budget came in. Yeah. Right for that joke. And totally worth it.
So it now comes, you know, the is it so bad it's good? I don't think so.
I would need at least a Groupon to see that movie again. I don't think I would ever pay $10 to see that again.
I don't think so. I mean, part of the trouble for me is I don't enjoy a comedy that's failing. Like, watching comedy fail isn't fun. Like, it can be funny, but it usually isn't funny. It's usually
painful.
Well, most
bad movies are movies that try to be serious and are funny. Unintentionally.
Yeah.
As opposed to a comedy where, you know, the jokes you would have to enjoy watching the Ed Sullivan Show and not know anything that comes after it to find this movie funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Your comic sensibilities have to be trapped in 1953 for you to even enjoy this film. Yeah. For there to be
And even then,
if you saw this as like a theatrical production, you'd be like, boy, they're playing this pretty, you know, pretty broad, aren't they? They want to reel this in.
So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no too.
Don't see this movie.
I don't. You know, we are not in the demographic for this movie. But even if we were,
I'm still saying no.
I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't take anyone to this movie.
So it's not even a date.
But I will say this. I'm going to pay this movie a compliment before we wrap up. I enjoyed this movie more than I liked Lady in the Water. If you said you could watch One for the Money 3 times or Lady in the Water 1 time, I would go with One for the Money.
Lady in the Water hurts your brain, though. So
it does. That's
impressive.
It makes me angry. Like, yeah. Lady in the Water is not good for anyone's blood pressure. This movie was sort of like harmless.
It's still a waste of time.
So it sucked because your expectations weren't there and they weren't trying so hard?
Oh, no, it's still terrible. Oh, it's still terrible. Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't that kind of, like, makes you angry, awful, like that Lady in the Water was. It was just sort of like a, boy, there is no talent anywhere on either side of the camera, you know, sort of way.
Gotcha.
Except for Jason O'Mara, who we should defend, who really isn't. Yeah. Who is okay.
Special disclaimer to him.
Yeah.
Good times.
So that's our episode for this week. We are working on our next movie is going to be House of the Dead. I'm already going to put my first joke in. I think it's better known as Outhouse of the Dead. This is that's kind of fitting that we put in this because that's a movie that needs it. That's a little joke that needs
it. One for the money too.
Yeah,
put that in there.
Yeah. We should sum this up like, you know, I was going to make like a. If I was doing a review of this movie and the theme of this movie, I'd say, this is not one for your money. Hey!
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. You need the big finish with this, you know. Yeah.
Of course you do.
And you need to also, like, in a movie like this, you also have to leave a pause for the audience to be laughing.
But
you know?
In this case, it sounds
or
like
to just stare at the screen with your mouth open
in
disbelief that they actually said that.
That they actually went there. All right, that's our episode of the week. We're going to be back with House of the Dead very soon. If you have a movie you want us to review or you can help us understand any of the movies we've been seeing lately. One for the Money, Wicker Man, Lady in the Water. You can email us at comments@stopthemoviepodcast.com. Email us anything you want. You want to talk about GoBots versus Transformers, bad 70s movies, you know, why the AFL and the NFL shouldn't have merged. You know, throw it all in there. We'll take it, especially GoBots, Transformers debate, Smurf snorks, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I tell you, the snorks, you just drag those Smurfs underwater and just hold them there until their lungs filled up and they drown.
That's true.
The snorks would win.
Oh, I think the snorks are a totally different concept. I don't think they're a Smurfs ripoff at all. I think it's completely independent intellectual property, you know. Totally independent concept.
Sure. No. Yeah. Of course they
are. Please like our Facebook page, Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out on Facebook. You can also comment on stuff there. You can get in touch with us there. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at WindUpFilms. Boy, I think that's about it. That's our social media update. Anybody else have anything they want to add on this turkey?
I'm actually going to be tweeting. I will have the information on the Facebook. I'm going to start tweeting as I watch movies. So if you want to follow my comments as I experience our movies of the week, first starting with
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead. So I will get that information up on the Facebook. So you can follow me on Twitter if you'd like.
I was going to tweet while I was watching Wicker Man, but it would have just been all emoticons of, like, me crying. That's all it's going to be.
Well, I think the only way to end this is, it's over, baby. Light the pyramids. Oh, no.
I want to wrap. I'm going to give this like a big vaudeville finish like this deserved. That's it. Good night. Everyone drive safely. Make sure you tip your servers. We'll see you back here soon.
Fly me off, Johnny. Yeah.